Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, this is Sean Green, and you're listening to The Jake Brown Show.
And welcome to The Jake Brown Show, CBS Radio's Radio.com Podcast Network, iTunes, and Spotify. The World Series underway. Recording this before Game 1, so who knows what happens tonight. But on the line with us now is a guy who played for the Dodgers from 2000 to 2004. The Dodgers and Astros, 200-win teams in the World Series for the first time since 1970, which when you say it, it's crazy because you think the World Series is the two best teams and you think it would have happened, and it hasn't happened in 47 years. Sean Green, at Sean Green 15 on Twitter, the former Slugger, also a former Met. Good to talk to you again, man. How you doing?
Great. Thanks for having me on your show.
Yep, no problem, of course. And the Dodgers are familiar territory with you, and what a season they had, man. And they obviously made the move to get Yu Darvish, which has helped push them over the edge a little bit, considering he's their Game 3 starter. Most teams, he's a Game 1 or 2 guy. I mean, how exciting is this team just from top to bottom?
It was super exciting. I mean, I think that top to bottom, as you said, 1 through 25, and you throw in Dave Roberts and the coaching staff and the front office, Andrew Friedman and his crew, I really think if you factor all those different components together, I think it's the best all-around team I've ever seen. I mean, you have a lineup that is 1 through 5 is extremely difficult, have great at-bats. And then you throw in guys like Barnes or and Grandal, whoever's catching that day. And, you know, the lineup is so deep, and you have incredible starting pitching, best pitcher on the planet, and the best closer on the planet. It's really an amazing team to watch.
How about Curtis Granderson? I mean, you feel for me as a Mets fan and a guy I'm rooting for, being left off the roster here. I mean, if you were in that position, I mean, when you were in the Dodgers, say – you were left off the NLDS roster. Wouldn't that be like, I mean, for a guy that's a veteran like that, isn't that a tough pill to swallow?
It is. It's a very tough pill to swallow. But, I mean, he's had an impact on them being here. He's on both the previous two series rosters and played, quite a bit. So from that perspective, I think he's probably, definitely feels like he had a part in this. But, yeah, to miss the World Series, it's something, I never got to play in a World Series. It's a rare event. It takes a lot of things to go really well to be in a position to win a championship. And, it's got to be tough to not be able to suit up for it.
Dave Roberts and the job he's done. I mean, you tweeted recently, I'm going to crack a bottle open of Red Stitch wine to toast my boy Dave Roberts, Mazel Tov, L'chaim, and what was your relationship like with him? And just tell us about, I mean, him as a person and him as a manager and the terrific job he's done.
Yeah, Dave's incredible. He's one of my closest friends. We played together starting in 2002 for almost 3 years until he got traded to the Red Sox and had the famous stolen base against Mariano. Great guy. We, as families, we spent a lot of time together, went to Napa Valley a lot. That's where the Red Stitch wine comment came in, because that's the wine that he and Rich Aurelia and someone else have been producing for a number of years now. It's really good wine. So, he's a great guy. And it's funny, when we played together, he wouldn't have been the guy that I picked to be a manager, just because I saw him more as a TV personality, because he's so outgoing. He has, he's very charismatic, but that has translated really well as a manager, particularly in a large market like LA, to be able to handle the media well, handle, the players. A lot of, they actually do a pretty good job of bringing in, the superstars that aren't, don't have the huge egos, but still if there are those types on the team, he can handle them really well. He's done a great job with Puig, for example, who's had his issues with managers in the past, and he's really got him in a great place.
What's your outlook on Puig? I mean, some people like him, some people don't like him. I think the energy is kind of good for baseball, but some people come off the wrong way when the bat flips and the talking smack and cursing the guys' faces. What's your take on Puig and his game?
Yeah, I mean, in general, when I played, I was more, I was quieter, tried to be more mild-mannered, and that's just my nature. But it is energizing to have those types of guys on the team. And, you know, he's the kind of guy when things are quiet, he comes in and makes his presence known in the clubhouse. And I think some guys, yeah, maybe they don't love it, but, you know, other guys do. Other guys feel energized by that type of player. And I think, you know, he's the type of guy where fans, particularly, you know, on opposing teams are going to hate him. But, you know, when he's playing like he is for you and contributing, then, you know, Dodger fans couldn't love him any more than they do right now.
Who's been the most instrumental player on this year's Dodgers?
That's why they're so good. It's almost impossible to narrow it down to one. I mean, you look at not having Seager against the Cubs and they still just completely dominated them. I mean, you could take probably two guys out of that lineup and they still have a really deep lineup. And you know, have a guy like Kike Hernandez step in and have a huge game for the clincher last series. But Taylor's been amazing to be at the top of the lineup and setting the tables.
And to play shortstop and play outfield. The guy's played the outfield and shortstop very well, too.
Very, very good defensively. I mean, he's kind of like a grinder type player, but he's been, you know, almost an MVP candidate. And then you have, you know, clearly Seager's incredible, another tough position playing shortstop and putting up the numbers that he does. Turner is probably my favorite hitter right now in the game. I love his approach and just has tremendous at bats day in and day out. And of course, Bellinger's, you know, he's the bomber in the lineup. So it's really, and Puig. Puig's kind of the unsung hero because he's put up quietly his best year, you know, quietly in comparison to the other guys. But that's what's amazing about this team is just offensively, you can have five different guys that you can say has been the most valuable. And then, of course, from a pitching standpoint, you have the best closer, you have Kershaw, you have the lefties that have done really well, and now you got Yu Darvish.
Yeah, and I point to Turner just because, I mean, this guy has just rejuvenated his career coming to the Dodgers. The Mets just cut him for nothing. He grows out the beard and the hair, and he becomes a champion. I mean, the guy has just been hitting the lights out of the ball in L.A. and gets a big contract well-deservedly. And, yeah, man, you look at the matchup, it's going to be tight. We're talking Keuchel and Verlander versus Kershaw, Hill, Darvish, and everyone wants to just throw Alex Wood out in the dust. The guy went 17-3 this season with a sub-3 ERA, and he's their fourth starter, Sean.
Yeah, that's why they're going to be so tough, I think. And this year, for the first time, they're really not on Kershaw winning his two starts or two and a half games, whatever he ends up coming in, if he goes seven. But he's got a tremendous bullpen, and I always feel like if I was building a team, I would start with the bullpen because, you know, the best team that I was on was probably, well, the Mets the two best teams were the Mets and the Dodgers in 04, Mets in 06, and both those teams had drop dead, shut down bullpens. And that's shortened the game to five or six innings. And, you know, in 04 with the Dodgers, we had Jose Lima, who was at that time was a marginal pitcher, but he was able to win 13 or 14, 15 games because all he had to do was get through the lineup two times. So I think to have that type of bullpen behind Kershaw takes a lot of the pressure. I mean, we've seen him come out after five innings. And as you said, to have the rest of the rotation as strong as they are, it's going to be really, really tough to beat the Dodgers. The only way that I think the Astros can beat the Dodgers is if the Dodgers, you know, for some reason have cooled off over the 4-day layoff.
What's your prediction here? Obviously, I'm pretty sure you're picking the Dodgers, but do you see going seven games?
You know, I think tonight will be very telling. I think if the Dodgers win tonight, I think it's going to be probably five games. I think if the Dodgers lose tonight, then I think it's going to go seven. Today is really important. It's such a big momentum shift just to get out of the gates. And there's so much momentum, but so did the Astros. So they came back against the Yankees. Two big wins, but the Dodgers had that layoff, so it's you never know how a team's going to respond. Just from a mostly from a hitting standpoint, just how they're going to be, how their at-bats are going to go. I think the first couple of innings will be very telling.
That 2004 Dodger team, you guys win the NL West, had high hopes. But, I mean, you go through that roster, and I would not say it was like a star-studded cast of guys. Would you agree?
No, I would agree. I mean, we had – Beltre had an incredible year and career, you know, for that matter. But, you know, our rotation was very weak at that point. Our bullpen was insane, but our rotation was pretty – very shaky.
One of your teammates was Alex Cora. Alex Cora about to finally get a managerial job and manage the Red Sox. From playing with him, what's your take? Everyone seems like says he's going to be a great manager and he's already a great coach. What do you think about Cora managing the Red Sox?
Yeah, he was the guy that I played with that I said, for sure, this guy's going to be a manager. He's a baseball rat and really understands. He was a manager when he was a player, and he was really, you know, first few years I played with him, early 2000s, he was a role player and then got to start maybe 03, 04-ish. And he was just such a leader on the field. And you know, he was the guy that knew all the rules. He was the guy who knew where to play everybody. I mean, you always go through those, you know, the charts and the meetings and stuff. But, you know, if anything, he was the guy, like, he was the quarterback. You know, basically, if there's an audible and he needed to make some changes and move some guys around based on what was going on, he was the guy. And you know, I think it's great, too. He speaks, you know, perfect English, went to the University of Miami. He's Puerto Rican, you know, his really first language is Spanish. So I think there's a lot of great reasons why he's going to have success. And he's won a championship in Boston, and who knows what will happen this year. So he's been in those pressure situations, and, you know, there's no tougher place to manage than Boston. But I think he's got enough credibility as a player where I think he'll be able to handle it really well.
And it's interesting you mentioned the Spanish thing, because you don't even think about that, but that is so important, because obviously so many Spanish players in today's game, how important it is that he could communicate with those guys. And a lot of these older managers, like a Terry Collins or whoever it may be, can't really do that. So I think that is an added asset. So he was a guy you played with, you're like, you know what, this guy guaranteed a manager. It's like a singer at birth, you know they're going to be a singer or whatever it may be. You saw it in his system while you're playing with him.
Without a doubt, without a doubt. And he was the guy that I would have picked. And I played with seven or eight managers that are either current or, you know, guys like, well, Robin Ventura, you know, just got fired, you know, a year ago or whatever. But Matheny and all these guys that you could see, Craig Counsell, Paul Molitor, I played with all these guys. You could see that leadership, you know, innate in those people. And, you know, Cora definitely is in that same, definitely fits that same mold.
2006, you come close with the Mets of the World Series. Obviously, the very depressing curveball from Adam Wainwright to Carlos Beltran, who is in the World Series and has his shot here again now. And I'm rooting for him as well. As much as I like to see Granderson's not even on the roster, so that's tough for him. But that brings me to an interesting point that Granderson on the team is going to get a ring if the Dodgers do win. You had 6 at-bats with the Blue Jays in 1993. Did you get a World Series ring?
I did. I was 0-6, and after I didn't see the field until the team clinched in Milwaukee, and my contributions were worthy of a ring.
So, isn't that amazing? That's awesome. Like,
it is. No, it's everyone who's you know, plays, is on the roster for even a day is going to get a ring, which is, it's super cool. I mean, it's, for me, it, you know, it doesn't have the meaning I wish I would have, you know, had with the Mets. If we would have just snuck into that World Series, I think things would have gone really well for us. But yeah, I mean, you still cherish it. It still means a lot. And, you know, I'm hoping that Curtis gets it, and I'm hoping, you know, cause I want you to see the Dodgers get it. It's a great, great fan base that's, you know, very, very hungry for a championship. And, you know, I think it's time. So, you know, we'll see what happens. And, I'd like to see him win as well when, you know, Kershaw's still in his prime, because he's, you know, he's pushing 30 now. And, you know, you would imagine that the next, you know, portion of his career is not going to top the first half of his career. So now is really the time. The next few years is a big window for the Dodgers.
Yeah, that stat, when I looked at it and looked through your numbers, I mean, you're the guy with 320 homers, 1,070 RBIs, and you go through your career, you're like, God, like, it sucks Sean Green did not win a World Series. And then you just see this glimmer of 93 and six at-bats, and while it sucks you weren't more of a part of the team, it's awesome that you get a ring out of it. It's just so funny that it's a year you went 0-6. Meanwhile, there's other years you hit 42 and 49 home runs, that the year you didn't even get a damn hit, you won a ring. I mean, what is this? I mean, 93, I don't know. What were the rings like? And they're not as fancy as they are now. But what's the ring look like?
Oh, it's nice. It was the second one. So they won, Jays won in 92. So the second one.
Do you wear it?
I don't, no. It's in a drawer. It's definitely cool. My kids think it's cool. And but it's still, it's just a piece of jewelry. I think the experience of winning the World Series, the experience is, you know, just being a part of it. Mm-hmm. So that's what I did miss out on. And, you know, I always wanted to win a World Series just for the energy of the fans, to, you know, give them, you know, everyone's so hungry for it. And then on the flip side, you know, there's a lot of things that people don't realize when you have your playoff share, your World Series share. And, you know, nowadays it's, you know, a lot of times like $400,000. You have guys on the grounds crew or, you know, clubhouse guys that, you know, they get to buy a house because they got a full share from playoffs and World Series. So those are the types of things that, you know, are really good stories that you don't always hear about.
I didn't even realize that. The guys in the grounds crew get World Series share?
Well, it's every team votes, so it depends on how it's voted. But, you know, usually, like, the head grounds crew guy will probably get a share. The head clubhouse guy, you know, some teams are more generous than others in how they vote, but the players. But, you know, there's guys that it changes a lot. I know, like, when the Yankees were winning all those in the 90s, you know, there's, I think, the assistant trainer had opportunities to go, you know, work as a head trainer for other teams, but he couldn't. He was getting a full share every year, and, you know, that was a ton of money. So, you know, it really makes a difference for guys around the team that aren't making the millions of dollars that the players are.
I need to change careers and be part of a clubhouse and get in there, not as media, and get in there as the damn clubhouse manager and just choose the best team in the league every year, because I clearly am doing
the best team. Well, the thing that's crazy, yeah, no, I hear you. The thing that's crazy about baseball, though, is you can go back in the history and look at some of the greatest players of all time that never even played in the World Series, never, you know, or never won. Like Barry Bonds never won a World Series. You know, he played in one, got close with the Pirates as well. But, you know, Ted Williams never won a World Series. Like, there's a lot of guys, because it is really a special experience. You got to be really lucky. I mean, if you happen to be, you know, Bellinger right now, it's really lucky that he came up with the Dodgers when they have this great team. Even though he's contributing a ton, he hit 39 home runs, you know, for the Oakland Padres, and it's not a factor. So there's a lot of luck involved as well, and that's why you really cherish the times when you have a shot at it, because you know how hard it is.
Yeah, it really is, and it tells you that since 1970, only the top, I mean, 200 teams have made it. It's been this long, so you never know who's getting in there. What are you up to these days, Sean? I know you're a family guy. What's filling your days now?
Yeah, so I'm involved in a software company that I co-founded. It's called Greenfly, and it's an enterprise software platform. So I'm filling my days with that, which is a lot of fun. It's a big shift. Big shift from trying to whack a ball. It's fun because, you know, it stimulates a different different part of my brain, different type of focus.
Well, there it is. Sean Green, former two-time All-Star, his Dodgers taking the Astros. Hopefully they win one. Kirk Gibson would be very proud. It's been almost 20 years, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah,
appreciate you coming on the show.
Almost 30 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, man. Take care.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.